Everyone, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My call, again, is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen, located in the city of Port St. Lucie, where we currently have a temperature of 85, but it was a high of 93 today. A very warm day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Great, hearing no emergency traffic. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, an anniversary, or anything special this week, maybe last week, that would like to come aboard so we could celebrate with you? All right, hearing no birthday stations or anything to celebrate, like I always say, it means most of us are not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise all stations connected that this net is recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. And if you've been part of this tonight, you will be part of that recording. Our topic tonight is Amateur Radio's History with VOIP. So I hope you enjoy. I hope you ask questions of those guest speakers. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to W4RFJ so he can continue. Mr. Roger, Mr. Chief, are you ready?
I was born ready, Miss Sunshine. Thank you, Kathy, and good evening to South Cars and guests. Tonight, as Kathy mentioned, we'll be discussing the history of digital and how it has grown to include voice communication. The discussion includes a slight bit of digital in the beginning, as digital communications is what made VOIP possible for amateur radio. Thus, I argue that Morse code or CW was the first digital mode. Arguably, CW has been used even before computers were available to decode it. It's fun to listen as old timers get into these back and forth discussions. So, hey, get comfortable, tighten your seatbelt, and let's get started. Declan, are you ready to hoist the flag and get the program started? That's 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is W4RFJ.
Yes, I am there, Chief. Thank you very much. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. I'm going to go ahead and kick off this Thursday Information Net. And I will reset the timers just to make sure we don't come into any sort of timeouts while I'm reading. So, stand by. The TIN will begin in a matter of seconds.
It already began. Read your spot, W4RJ.
Well, the main body of the TIN will begin momentarily. The dawn of digital. From RTTY to packet radio, from the 1940s to the 1990s. Amateur radio's journey into the digital realm began long before the widespread adoption of personal computers. The 1940s saw the emergence of radio teletype, or RTTY for short, which allowed ham radio operators to exchange text messages using mechanical typewriters connected to radios. This marked a significant departure from traditional voice communication such as AM, FM, and SSB, and laid the groundwork for future digital advancements. The 1980s brought a revolution with the advent of microprocessors, which paved the way for packet radio. This mode utilized a standard for digital data communication, known as AX25, to transmit data in small bursts or packets, according to Bug Out Bag Builder. Early experiments in Montreal, Canada in 1978, and later in the United States, saw hams transmitting ASCII-encoded data over VHF frequencies. In 1981, the amateur radio community was allocated an IP range from 44.0.0.0/8, and TCP/IP over amateur radio was successfully implemented, a full decade before it became widely used on the public internet. This led to the formation of AMPRNet, also known as Network 44, and to some, further abbreviated as AMPANET. While the popularity of the public internet eventually lessened the need for a packet radio as a general-purpose network, the technology found a new purpose in the form of APRS, or Automatic Packet Reporting System. APRS, which is built upon the AX25 protocol, enabled features like position reporting using GPS and the exchange of short messages between stations. The 1990s and 2000s witnessed the transformative impact of the internet on amateur radio, particularly with the introduction of Voice over Internet Protocol, or VOIP, systems. These systems allowed hams to connect their radios to the internet, which facilitated global communication beyond the limitations of atmospheric propagation. Echolink and IRLP, the Internet Radio Linking Project, emerged as key players in this new landscape. Echolink, which was introduced in the early 2000s, allows licensed amateur radio stations to communicate with one another over the internet using streaming audio technology. It connects stations or computers to other Echolink users, significantly extending the range and utility of VHF, UHF to FM stations, and allowing computer-equipped hams to access distant repeaters directly. Echolink is not a digital mode transmitted over the air, but rather an extension of traditional voice modes like FM that uses the internet for connectivity, explains Echolink. Users can access Echolink either through a radio within range of an equipped repeater or simplex station, or directly from a licensed amateur's internet-connected PC. IRLP, Internet Radio Linking Project, is another system that interconnects amateur radio stations over the internet, primarily through RF gateways or nodes. Unlike Echolink, IRLP does not offer direct PC access, but instead relies on dedicated hardware and Linux software to link repeaters and simplex stations. According to Echolink, a popular solution for clubs interested in both Echolink and IRLP is EchoIRLP, a software package that can be added to an existing IRLP node to allow connections to the Echolink network. At this moment, I will now open up for check-ins or any questions about the Thursday information that's so far.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee.
Morning, Dick. The guy writes JQ. Just in and out really quickly.
Hotel America.
Okay, this is 2Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. So, I acknowledge three stations. That's Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee. That is Robert. I also recognize VK3HJQ, John for a quick in and out, and K2HA, Fred the Happy Amateur. So, we'll quickly go to VK3HJQ and see what you've got to say there, John. Go ahead, from 2Whiskey0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Yeah, morning, Dick. Just out of bed. What time is it? 9:11 a.m., 22nd of August, and a beautiful day down in paradise. Yeah, well, there's radio over IP because there's VoIP, and rope is another one that you didn't mention. Anyway, all good. Yeah, I used to do a lot of packet radio and APRS. So really, packet radio is just fantastic. It's the greatest mode ever invented, AX25. I built up a Baycom modem some, oh, I don't know how many years ago, a long time ago, and I ran an APRS DigiPeter for about 20 years as well, or 25 years. So, yeah, it's come a long way now, especially with all the digital modes that we have now. It's just crazy out there. And of course, amateurs were the first to get into this sort of stuff, you know, because we're experimenters, aren't we? All right, thanks for running the deck. I better get out of here. Got to get on me push bike and go for a ride. So 7-3. Hope everybody's staying safe over there in the UK. Back to Nat, the Catch Rage Drag Cube.
Okay, thank you very much, John, from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Yeah, great to know that you're doing well, and thank you for your input to the Nat. Now, I personally, as one who is less involved in amateur radio than some other people, I don't exactly have personal comments on my opinion on the digital modes, but given that that is among what I tend to use quite often, I would say that it's quite it works quite well for me. I do I'm not sure what I was going to say, but I've already just blanked out there, so we'll just go ahead and thank you very much, and we'll say 73, and we move along, and just go back up to the top of the list, of course, and speak to VK2DY. That's Robert. Go ahead, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, this is Robert, VK2DY in northwestern Sydney, where it is currently 13 degrees Celsius, which is, I think, 55 Fahrenheit. Anyway, it's still cold. And, of course, it's still raining. It's been raining and raining and raining. Yesterday, actually, I think we got close to 50 mils, so it's not stopping. Anyway, it is what it is. I guess first thing to mention is that IRLP not being able to connect to on your computer was a choice, not a technology issue. The creator of RLP wanted everybody on radio, and I think finally they made the compromise of the Echo IRLP, but it was initially meant to be just radio and no electronic devices allowed, and that was sort of their thing. And I also remember back in the day, I packet radio sounds so primitive today, but it was amazing to be able to connect to the internet and connect to bulletin boards and send messages and everything else via radio. That was amazing technology back in the day, and now it just sounds so ordinary. But yeah, it was great stuff. I played with it a lot. I had several packet modems and all sorts of devices and stuff to take advantage of it. Brilliant stuff back in the day. Anyway, thank you so much for taking my check-in. VK2DY, back to Nat.
Okay, well, thank you very much for checking in there, Robert. I greatly appreciate it. And that is very interesting indeed. Very nice. Interesting to hear that IRLP made a choice to exclusively be on radio systems and not connect to computer and digital devices. It's very interesting. So, yeah, thank you very much for that input. I appreciate it. And the temperature here is a little bit similar at the moment, which is fairly expectable for late at night. We're currently at 12 degrees Celsius here. But it is quarter past midnight, so that is an understandable temperature. At least it hasn't been raining here, which is good. Yeah, thank you very much for your check-in. Thank you very much for your input. And hope you have yourself a great day. Keep yourself dry, of course. And we'll say 73 to VK2DY and move along to K2HA. That is Fred, the happy amateur. Go ahead from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Well, thank you, Declan. This is Fred, K2HA. Peace and blessings to you and to everybody on the net and everybody who's going to be listening to this recording. We want to just compliment you on doing such a fine job of reading the script, and pronunciation was fantastic. I'm impressed. So thank you, Declan. Peace and blessings all. This is Fred, K2HA.
Comment?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Declan, I agree with Fred. I wanted to wave at our good friend up in Pennsylvania. I also wanted to add that, APRS utilizes the unnumbered information frames of the AX.25 protocol, and the system was basically developed by a ham that I've had the opportunity to talk to when he wasn't a silent key, Bob Berninga, WB4APR, was a great guy, and he's the one that developed the use of the unnumbered information frames to relay data, which includes mapping and all kinds of things, weather, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just wanted to add that in there, being as APRS was mentioned, and we do miss Bob. He was the founder of the APRS protocol. Anyway, back to Net, doing a great job, Deck, W4RSJ.
Well, thank you very much to both yourself there, Chief, and to Fred as well for those comments. Greatly appreciate the compliments towards mic coordination and script reading. I do appreciate that. And, thank you very much as well, Chief, for the comment about the founder of APRS. That is very interesting to hear about that, really. That is interesting. So thank you very much for giving that little piece of information there. And that is very nice that you had the pleasure of being able to speak to him in his lifetime. How nice indeed. And thank you very much for that. And with that, I will say 73 to the both of you. And I will go ahead and just make sure we don't have any further check-ins before I turn it over to the next person who will read from the script and continue the next narrator. But before we do that, of course, just want to check if there's any further check-ins for this Thursday Information Net. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Oh, I'd like to say one more thing I forgot to say, Declan.
Well, you go right ahead there, Chief.
Okay. The unnumbered information frames in the AX.25 protocol are the same frames that they use to beacon your call sign. So he expanded the use of that beaconing frame to include the stuff that we use for APRS. That's all I got to say. You're doing great, and I notice you're coming in through GW8SZL, and Dave's coming in through 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. I think that's a great use of DigiPeters. Go ahead, Dex. Sorry for making it so long.
Okay. thank you very much. It's perfectly fine. You don't need to worry about length. Thank you very much for that. So, with that being said, just going to make a third check since you just very quickly came in with a further comment. So just to be completely on the clear that we have no further check-ins before we proceed. This is 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, currently net control of the First Information Net, preparing to hand over if there are no further check-ins at this time. This is 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, any further check-ins?
Golf, Mike, 0, Uniform, Uniform, Bravo, I'll try again, GM0, UUB, Graham here in Alloa, Central Scotland.
All right then, Graham, this is 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, and I recognize Golf, Mike, 0, Uniform, Uniform, Bravo. We've got you there the second time. Go ahead.
Well, hi there, Declan, and everybody else in the Thursday Information Net. This is GM0 UUB, Graham here in Alloa, Central Scotland. And I don't need to tell you the time, but I will anyway. It's nearly 25 minutes past midnight. And I've got these wonderful, wonderful chocolate-covered coffee beans. It's kind of keeping me awake. But up in the House of Brewer, just near Pitlochry, we passed that the other day when we visited my mum in Inverness, picked up those chocolate-covered coffee beans, which only they have the most delicious dark chocolate-covered coffee beans. And so I've been munching away at them, so that's kind of keeping me awake. But anyway, Declan, I'm sure you're doing a fantastic job, and honestly, I do not even, if I've checked into the Thursday Information Net before, I definitely heard about it, don't really know much about it, and if I have checked in, it's only been once or twice over the years. So, so there we go, this may well be my first check-in, so just to let you know, and thanks for taking my check-in. Bye to you, Declan, from GM0 UUB. Remember?
Okay, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Well, what an honor that is indeed. And thank you very much, Graham. Well, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Thursday Information Net. And I hope that you're enjoying munching on those chocolate-covered coffee beans. And thank you very much for taking the time to be in here to listen and to check in. I greatly appreciate it, and thank you very much for the comments there, Graham. Always great to speak to you wherever it may be, and it just so happens today it's on the South Coast. So thank you very much. With that being said, I think we should go ahead and bring the next narrator into the frame. So, this is 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. I will break with Golf Mike 0, Uniform, Uniform, Bravo, and I will go ahead and call in Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima for a little chat chair swap and also a swap over as you are the next narrator. Stand by all stations, just conducting a quick swap. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, just took over the shack chair, which Declan has kept lovely and warm for me. Hi to Graham, John, Robert, and Fred, of course, and everybody else on the Thursday Information Net this evening. Okay, I'm going to continue on with the next section of the Thursday Information Net this evening. Okay, here we go. Digital voice modes and the modern era, that's 2000s to the present. Beyond internet linking, 2000s and 2010s saw the development and increasing popularity of dedicated digital voice modes for amateur radio. Now, these modes offer benefits like improved clarity, narrower bandwidth, and enhanced performance in noisy environments compared to analog voice modes. The three main digital voice formats in amateur radio today are D-Star, DMR, and of course System Fusion. Now, D-Star stands for Digital Smart Technologies for Amateur Radio, and it was developed in the late 1990s by the Japan Amateur Radio League, that's the JARL, and they were in collaboration with ICOM, and it is notable as the first digital mode specifically designed for amateur radio. It is an open protocol that uses the proprietary AMBI, that's Alpha Mike Bravo Echo vocoder, for voice encoding, and has fostered experimentation and development within the amateur community. The star supports both voice and data transmissions, and can be used on various amateur radio bands. Next up we have DMR, which stands for Digital Mobile Radio. It is an open standard initially developed for commercial applications, but widely adapted for amateur radio use starting around about 2014. DMR utilizes features aimed at commercial business users and offers a robust and spectrally efficient communication method. Key concepts in DMR include color codes for repeater access and talk groups for selecting specific groups of users. Several manufacturers produce DMR equipment for the amateur radio market, including Motorola, Itera, Anytone, TYT, and Alinco. I know there's many more than that, but that's just a few of them. Now, System Fusion, also known as YSF, it stands for YAESU System Fusion, was introduced by YAESU in 2013 and utilizes C4FM 4-level FSK technology for transmitting digital voice and data. It is considered by some to be an improvement over D-Star and is unique in its focus on compatibility with analog FM radio, easing the transition for repeaters from analog to digital technology. YAESU is currently the sole major manufacturer of fusion-enabled radios. While these three digital voice formats are distinct and incompatible with each other, they all offer a digital communication option alongside the traditional analog FM mode. Now we're going to take a quick look at the future of digital and VoIP in amateur radio itself. The integration of digital technologies and the internet continues to shape the evolution of amateur radio. The future will likely see further advancements in software-defined radios, also known as SDRs, machine learning, and digital signal processing, enhancing the capabilities and accessibility of the hobby. Remote operation, where amateurs control their stations via the internet, is also gaining momentum, opening new possibilities for communications and experimentation. The integration of Internet of Things, that's IoT technologies, with amateur radio is creating opportunities for remote monitoring, weather tracking, and, of course, automation. Moreover, the role of digital modes in emergency communications and disaster response underscores their practical importance beyond the hobbyist applications. Now, while digital modes offer many advantages, the lack of a single unified standard remains a challenge for the broader adoption of these technologies within the actual amateur radio community. However, the ongoing development of open source projects like FreeDV, which focuses on HF digital voice with an open codec, suggest a future where compatibility and experimentation might play a more prominent role. Okay, this is GW8SZL with the Thursday Information Net. I'm going to ask for any further check-ins at this time, or anybody got any questions or comments, please call now. Okay, a second call. Is there anybody like to check in? Got any questions, comments, before I pass it along to the next narrator?
Nota Bene, KY4NB, Scott in Memphis. Hi, Dave. No questions. Just wanted to give a shout-out and say hi, and I'll be listening. KY4NB, back to net.
KY4MB from GW8-SNL. Good evening, Scott, from down there in Land of Elvis and Barbecue there in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you very much for that. It's nice to know you're out there. I did see you on the list, though. Hi. But all's good, as they say. Okay, thanks. I've added you to my little list here for the check-ins. And is there anything else you would like to add before I pass it along to the next narrator? KY4MB, W8SZL.
Well, no, Dave, I'm getting educated on all this, and net controls are doing wonderful, and thanks to Kathleen there for getting everybody started, and the chief, and the young Declan is sounding more and more like Dave, like you, which I guess is a good thing, right? Okay, that's it, Dave. I'll be listening. KY4NB, back to net.
KY4NB from GW8SNL. Just between you and me, I'll let you into a little secret. He's my clone. Hi, hi. Anyway, thanks, Scott. Great chatting to you, and thanks for popping in there. And listening along to the further information net as well. It's always great to hear people popping in and just saying hi. Okay, with that, and as there's nobody else that wants to check in, got any questions or comments at this point in time, I'm going to pass to the next section, over to Chief W4RFJ to continue along with the Thursday Information Net this evening. W4RFJ, GW8SNL, it's all yours.
Okay, Dave, thank you very much. This is W4RFJ, and I guess when it comes to techno babbling, I get the better part of the topic. What makes all this, these different digital modes and voice over IP is mainly in the development of what they call an analog to digital converter, ADC, A/D, or even A2D. And this is a system that converts the analog signal, such as sound picked up by a microphone, or even light entering a digital camera, into a digital signal. And with that digital signal, you know, we travel on. An ADC may also provide an isolated measurement, such as an electronic device that converts an analog input voltage or current to a digital number representing the magnitude of the voltage or current. Typically, the digital output is a 2's complement binary number that is proportional to the input. But there are other possibilities. There are several ADC architectures due to the complexity and the need for precisely matched components. All but the most specialized ADCs are implemented as integrated circuits, or ICs. These typically take the form of metal oxide silicone or mixed signal integrated circuit chips that integrate both analog and digital circuits. A digital to analog converter, or DAC, performs the reverse function. It converts that digital signal back to an analog signal. Explanation, an ADC converts a continuous time and continuous amplitude analog signal to a discrete time and discrete amplitude digital signal. The conversion involves quantization of the input, so it necessarily introduces a small amount of quantization error. Furthermore, instead of continuously performing the conversion, an ADC does the conversion periodically, sampling the input and limiting the allowable bandwidth of that input signal. The performance of an ADC is primarily characterized by its bandwidth and signal-to-noise and distortion ratio, also known as SNDR. The bandwidth of an ADC is characterized primarily by its sampling rate. The SNDR of an ADC is influenced by many factors, including the resolution, linearity, and accuracy. Basically, it's how well the quantization levels match the true analog signal. Aliasing and jitter is also an influence. The SNDR of an ADC is often summarized in terms of its effective number of bits, or ENOB. The number of bits of each measure it returns that are on average not noise. An ideal ADC has an ENOB equal to its resolution. That got my head spinning. But anyway, ABCs are chosen to match the bandwidth and required signal-to-noise or SNDR of the signal to be digitized. If an ADC operates at a sampling rate greater than twice the bandwidth of the signal, then per the Nyquist-Shannon sampling theorem, near-perfect reconstruction is possible. The presence of quantization error limits the SNDR of even an ideal ADC. However, if the SNDR of the ADC exceeds that of the input signal, then the effects of quantization error may be neglected, resulting in an essentially perfect digital representation of the band-limited analog input signal. The resolution of the converter indicates the number of different, i.e. discrete, values it can produce over the allowed range of analog input signals. Thus, a particular resolution determines the magnitude of the quantization error and therefore determines the maximum possible signal-to-noise ratio for an ideal ADC without the use of oversampling. Now, wake up, everybody, because I know this highly technical information is not keeping people awake. The input samples are usually stored electronically in binary form within the ADC, so the resolution is usually expressed as the audio bit depth. In consequence, the number of discrete values available is usually a power of 2. For example, an ADC with a resolution of 8 bits. Okay, resolution can also be defined electrically and expressed in volts. The change in voltage required to guarantee a change in the output code level is called the least significant bit voltage. The resolution Q of the ADC is equal to the LSB voltage. The voltage resolution of an ADC is equal to its overall voltage measurement range divided by the number of intervals. In ADCs, performance can usually be improved using dither. This is a very small amount of random noise, or also known as white noise, which is added to the input before conversion. Its effect is to randomize the state of the LSB based on the signal, rather than signal simply getting cut off altogether at low levels. It extends the effective range of signals that the ADC can convert at the expense of a slight increase in noise. Dither can only increase the resolution of a sampler. It cannot improve the linearity, and thus accuracy does not necessarily improve. Quantization distortion in an audio signal is of very low level with respect to the bit depth of the ADC is correlated with the signal and sounds distorted and unpleasant. With dithering, the distortion is transformed into noise. The undistorted signal may be recovered accurately by averaging over time. Dithering is also used in integrating systems such as electricity meters. Since the values are added together, the dithering produces results that are more exact than the LSB of the analog to digital converter. Dither is often applied when quantizing photographic images to a fewer number of bits per pixel. The image becomes noisier, but the eye looks far more realistic than the quantized image, which otherwise becomes banded. This analogous process may help to visualize the effect of dither on an analog audio signal that is converted to digital. As far as accuracy is concerned, an ADC has several sources of errors. Quantization error and assuming the ADC is intended to be linear, non-linearity are intrinsic to any analog to digital conversion. These errors are measured in a unit called the least significant bit in the above example of an 8-bit ADC. An error of 1 LSB, that's 1/256, of the full signal range, or about 0.4%. As far as nonlinearity is concerned, all ADCs suffer from nonlinearity errors caused by their physical imperfections. causing their output to deviate from a linear function, or some other function in the case of deliberately nonlinear ADC of their input. These errors can sometimes be mitigated by calibration or prevented by testing. Important parameters are for linearity are integral nonlinearity and differential nonlinearity. These nonlinearities introduce distortion that can reduce the signal-to-noise ratio performance of the ADC and thus reduce its effective resolution. Now that everybody's head is spinning, let's check for check-ins. This is W4RFJ with the South Carr Thursday Information Net. Okay, hearing none. This is W4RFJ. Alien life form, you ready to go?
W4RFJ from KE5AF. I think so. My head's pretty well spinning, but I think I'm ready to go, sir. All right, let's get going here. An analog signal is continuous in time, and it is necessary to convert this to a flow of digital values. It is therefore required to define the rate at which new digital values are sampled from the analog signal. The rate of new values is called the sampling rate or sampling frequency of the converter. A continuously varying band-limited signal can be sampled, and then the original signal can be reproduced from this discrete time values of a reconstruction filter. The Nyquist-Shannon sampling theorem implies that a faithful reproduction of the original signal is only possible if the sampling rate is higher than twice the highest frequency of the signal. Since a practical ADC cannot make an instantaneous conversion, the input value must necessarily be held constant during the time that the converter performs a conversion, called the conversion time. An input circuit called a sampler and hold performs this task. In most cases, by using a capacitor to store the analog voltage at the input and using an electronic switch or gate to disconnect the capacitor from the input. Many ADC integrated circuits include the sample and the hold subsystem internally. An ADC works by sampling the value of the input at discrete intervals in time. Provided that the input is sampled above the Nyquist rate, defined as twice the highest frequency of interest, then all frequencies in the signal can be reconstructed. If frequencies above half the Nyquist rate are sampled, they are incorrectly detected as lower frequencies, a process referred to as aliasing. Aliasing occurs because instantaneously sampling a function at two or fewer times per cycle results as missed cycles, and thus for the appearance of an incorrectly lower frequency. For example, a 2 kHz sine wave being sampled at 1.5 kHz would be reconstructed as a 500 Hz sine wave. Let me reset here real quick. To avoid aliasing, the input of an ADC must be low-pass filtered to remove frequencies above half the sampling rate. This filter is called an anti-aliasing filter and is essential for a practical ADC system that is applied to analog signals with higher frequency content in applications where protection against aliasing is essential. Oversampling may be used to greatly reduce or even eliminate it. Although aliasing, as most systems, is unwanted, it can be exploited to provide simultaneously downmixing of a band-limited high-frequency signal. See under sampling and frequency mixer. This alias is effectively the lower heterodyne of the signal frequency and sampling frequency. In conclusion, the journey of digital and VOIP, voice over internet, is amateur radio illustrates the hobby's dynamic interplay between tradition and innovation. From the simple binary pulses of Morse code to the complex digital voice networks linked by the internet, amateur radio has consistently evolved by embracing new technologies. Packet radio brought structured data communication to the airwaves, enabling the first true radio internets. The rise of digital voice protocols and voice over internet protocol expanded amateur communication into the realm of crystal clear global conversations accessible via handheld radios, computers, and smartphones. Modern tools like SDR, hotspots, open source VLC coders, and mesh networks provide hams with unparalleled flexibility to experiment, learn, and connect. Amateur AD radio remains a vital platform for education, emergency communication, and fostering global friendship. As digital technologies continue to advance, augmented by AI and integrated with LOT, amateur radio is well positioned to adapt and thrive. Its enduring appeal lies not only in technology, but in curiosity, collaboration, and passion of its community. Let me reset here real quick. We'll go over a little glossary here of key terms that we talked about. AMBE, the Advanced Multiband Excitation, a proprietary digital voice codec commonly used in many commercial and amateur digital voice systems, such as D-Star and DMR. It compresses voice signals for efficient transmission over narrow bandwidths. Analog, which is the traditional radio communication method where voice or data is transmitted as continuous waveforms rather than digital signals. C4FM, continuous four-level frequency modulation, a digital modulation method used by Yaesu System Fusion for digital voice and data transmission. D-Star, digital smart technologies for amateur radio, a digital voice and data protocol developed by the Japan Amateur Radio League featuring internet length repeaters. DMR, digital mobile radio, a commercial digital radio standard that uses two-slot TDMA technology widely adopted by amateur radio operators for voice and data. Echolink, a VoIP system that allows amateur radio operators to connect radios to the internet and communicate globally via PCs and smartphones. The Internet Radio Link Project, IRLP, a project linking amateur radio repeaters globally using voice over IP developed in the late 1990s. And VoIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol, technology that transmits voice communication over the internet networks used to link amateur radio repeaters and users globally. Okay, at this time I want to see if there's anybody that'd like to check in. If they have any comments or questions, do so now. All right, I guess everybody was well informed and understood every bit of that mind-spinning communications. I want to thank you, everyone. This has been SCARS, VOIP, net schedules, and general information may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. Your net control for this segment has been KE5ALF, saying 73 and closing this VOIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is now closed.